Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Today here on Sports 56 Mornings, Greg, Eli, and Zach with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Currently 61 degrees. It will get up to 71, as Commander Chuck said. There is rain coming into the area this afternoon. Looks like there's a chance of a thunderstorm, about a 70%, make that an 80% chance of rain tonight. Rain will continue with a 50% chance, 60 degrees tonight for a low, and then tomorrow you're looking at straight clouds, but it will warm up to 84 degrees. Looks like it'll be a pretty nice weekend, mixture of sun and clouds, with a high on Saturday of 87, on Sunday of 84 degrees. We'll be talking with Ian Valentino about the NFL draft in just a moment. Do want to tell you about our third hour sponsor each and every day, and that's Jenkins Floors and More, located at 6 East Commerce in Hernando, Mississippi, a short trip from anywhere in the Memphis area. Family-owned and operated local business. They specialize in flooring and carpeting. They also have stores in Little Rock and Cleveland, Mississippi. If it's variety you're looking for, they have it. SPC and WPC vinyls. These are top of the line, scratch-resistant, waterproof. They have ceramic and porcelain tiles, hardwoods by Porter Craft. They even sell carpeting from Southern Luxury Carpet, backsplashes for your kitchens and bathrooms, plantation shutters and blinds, and so much more. And they sell it wholesale. So they skip the middleman. They save you lots of money. Timmy and Rebecca Jenkins started this business 8 years ago in their garage. And because of their quality of work, the attention, the detail, and their pricing, they have earned the reputation of being one of the top flooring companies in the area. So whether you're residential, commercial, so that means homeowners, contractors, do yourself a favor. See what Jenkins Floors and More has to offer. They will install and do so in an unheard-of turnaround of 2 weeks. Financing is available, so stop by and see them in Hernando or call them at 662-469-9350. Open Monday through Saturday, Jenkins Floors and More. We continue the countdown to round one of the NFL draft. I'm very pleased to be joined for the first time here on Sports 56 Mornings by Ian Valentino, NFL draft, NFL, college football, and sports betting analyst for the 33rd team, A to Z Sports, also the Orange and Brown Report. I'm sure, Ian, that's keeping you busy, all those different publications and services that you work for, but this is the, I guess, busiest time of the year for you. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, yeah, it is. It's a busy time, but at the same point, you know, this is why we do it. So it's a lot of fun, and the next couple of days really go by in a blur, and then a little bit of melancholy, and then we jump into next year's class.
It's interesting. You can only do what you can do. You use your sources and people that you can confide on to try to get the best when you put together a mock draft and try to be as right as you can be. But we know that there's always going to be some curveballs. There's always going to be some smoke screens. I wanted to ask you this. We were talking about the props earlier, and one of the books we were looking at was 5.5 trades over or under. Do you expect, for the first round, do you expect this to be an active night tonight?
That's a good line. I think when I had originally seen it, I think I took the under on 6.5. So to see that move down, now it's a little bit, you know, I get a little bit nervous with that. And so I do think it's going to be an active round because we've got a lot of guys at the top, and then there's, you know, probably around like pick 12, 13, somewhere in there, there's a big drop, I think, in talent. And it's not that it's bad, but it's like that's every class. Like, mm-hmm. There's always going to be that drop. So now the question is, who moves up for a quarterback, if anyone does? And you're probably hoping, if you're taking the over, you're definitely hoping that there's at least a quarterback trade in the top eight. If there's not, then I think that puts that number in real jeopardy. So I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be as active as we think. 5.5 is going to be close. I think that's going to be pretty spot on as usual. The odds makers tend to know, but I think it will be active because you got that, you know, look at like Philadelphia. I think they're going to be pretty active, and then teams like Las Vegas or maybe even Carolina at the end of the first round, like those are some wild cards. So I think it will be active. I don't think it's going to be an easy over. I think it's going to really depend on whether Minnesota moves up or if there's a surprise team that moves up for someone like JJ McCarthy.
The First of all, I do want to ask, because I was looking at your mock draft, which you do the full seven-round mock draft, and I just wonder what death wish do you have to try and do a seven-round mock draft?
Oh, my gosh. I did several of them throughout the year. I think, like, once a month I was doing one. And but at this point, it's even tougher because, like, we know a lot more now. It's, like, kind of easier during the season. And it's just mind-numbing, like, the back part of it. Yeah, that people don't see, which is like making the picks and then writing them all down and like transferring them over. Like that's the hard part. It's not necessarily like projecting the fits or, you know, writing the analysis. It's really just like getting the article ready.
God bless you. Any of you guys that do that. Like I'm like pick 240 trying to figure out who I'm like, oh my gosh. All right. So if you look at the sports books, they believe it by odds. It looks like they believe the top four picks are set. One, I guess, do you believe that? And if so, it is at pick five where it looks like you might be able to start making some money. If it is that order of Williams, Daniels, May, Harrison, who is pick number five?
Yeah, and I would agree. I think that's pretty close to unanimous at this point. I think the only thing that could throw that off is if it's McCarthy at three and not May. I think a lot of teams are hoping that. I don't think that anyone expects that, though. So I think at five, there's just as good of an argument as there is for like Joe Alt or even J.C. Latham as offensive tackles for the Chargers as there is Malik Nabers. And I think that's the decision. Is it Alt? I think it comes down to Alt or Nabers. And it's pretty easy why. They're both elite players at their position. They're great prospects. And the Chargers have huge needs at both positions. I kind of lean toward Alt because I look at Jim Harbaugh. Yep. Everywhere he goes, he builds up the trenches. He doesn't go for a receiver. So I think it'd really be breaking the mold. And if they wait on a tackle to day two, the guy that they're going to get in round two is going to be significantly worse as compared to wide receiver. We see good wide receivers come out of day two all the time. So I think they're going to look at those it's like a combination, right? Like, what's the better combination? The better combination is going to be offensive tackle at five and then wide receiver in their next round.
I think you hit it right on the head because it's Harbaugh. Harbaugh wants to put up a fortress to protect his quarterback and to be able to run the football. So going offensive line makes sense. As you said, skill position, offensive players, especially wide receivers. I'm not going to say they're a dime a dozen because there's some great ones, obviously, that'll go early. But you can find those as the draft moves along. Okay, so let me ask you about, since we're on the topic of offensive linemen, the Tennessee Titans, of course, Tennessee being 3 hours down the road from where they play in Nashville. The Titans have a lot of needs, but they have to bolster their offensive line. If it's Alt that the Chargers take, do they take Latham? If it's Latham that the Chargers take, do they take Alt? Do you think it's an offensive lineman for the Titans?
Yeah, I think their decision, if it's offensive lineman, it's just the best available one. It's pretty easy. They can't go wrong because they have a need at both tackle spots.
Right.
They could even use someone that moves into guard if they really have to. If like worst comes worse and we get something weird happens, someone trades up to six for an offensive lineman, the Titans can just shrug their shoulders and be like, all right, Talese Fuaga or Troy Fatanu, you guys are good too. So it's totally fine. I think that they'll have one of Latham or Alt available for sure. I'd be surprised if not. But I do think that there is a potential wild card. Dallas Turner, this team's been looking for a pass rush help for Harold Landry for years, and they haven't been able to find it. Would it shock me if they took Turner? No, I it wouldn't. And some of that comes down to Tennessee does have the ability to move up into the top, back into the first round to be able to grab another tackle if they want to. So it's similar to the Chargers, where like they need to be, you know, careful to not miss out on a guy who can play right away at tackle. But I think they're going to be a little bit more motivated and able to move back up if they want to.
Who's the first running back that comes off the board, and when does it happen?
That's a great question. And I think like the record was Bishop Sankey at like 54 to Tennessee a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be right in that same range. It's going to be, I think, right in the 50s or late 40s. Best case, maybe a team like the Giants with their second round pick. Maybe they're looking at like Trey Benson out of Florida State. I think he's probably the best back that's healthy in the class. Jonathan Brooks from Texas is my top back, but he's also coming off a torn ACL, so that's not necessarily easy to project, and those guys usually don't go as high because they may not play right away or ever be the same, so there's more risk there with him. But a lot of folks are torn on this class, and that generally says it's just not a great class, and I would agree with that. I think the Giants, the Cowboys, definitely threats to take a running back. Carolina, although 39 is definitely too early for them, so maybe they trade back a little bit if they really feel like they need a running back. There's a lot of teams with needs, so as soon as the run starts, it's going to hit pretty hard, and I think probably by the end of the top 100 picks, you're going to see a bunch of running backs off the board. But I don't think anyone has a consensus RB1.
Ian Valentino joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. You can follow Ian on Twitter at NFL Draft Study. That's NFL Draft Study. All right, since we're talking running backs, we have one here at Memphis that I thought did a real nice job playing in the postseason all-star games and doing a good job in getting his stock maybe into position to be drafted. The question was whether or not Blake Watson would be drafted. It looks like he's a draftable candidate, I would think, late in this draft. I don't know if you know much about Blake, but if you do, what is your analysis of him?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite late-round guys. He's kind of got it all. He's not the most explosive guy. He tested really well. I think he tested better than what he probably plays. But he's got good size. He can catch the ball. He's a three-down type of player. I agree. He's probably like a sixth, seventh rounder. He's a little bit older, so teams aren't going to necessarily gravitate towards that. He's not the fastest guy on the field, but he's just really solid. And when you look at guys that translate very quickly to the NFL, it's usually not the guys who are super twitched up and amazing athletes. It's the guys who have had to win with their vision, their patience, their ability to take hits, continue running that contact balance. He's got all of those things, and his experience really will pay off, I think, as a receiver. Like, when I look at him, I look at that ability to step on the field and play. I think he'll make a roster as probably a third back, maybe push as like an RB2, and then just kind of ride his career out as that, which is really impressive. And
yes.
I think I mocked him to like the Ravens or someone in the seventh round, and it's going to be in that range. It's so hard to tell at the end of drafts, but if he doesn't get picked, I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah, you had him to Baltimore in the seventh round in your mock draft. The Cowboys tonight, does it absolutely an offensive lineman?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just as much of a threat to take a wide receiver. It seems like they should take an offensive lineman. I think there's a pretty good chance that they trade too, but there's buzz still about a receiver. Now, I think it has to be the right receiver. I think it's going to have to be either one of the Texas guys, Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell. I think they really like Worthy, but I don't think they're going to have the chance at him. So I would guess that it's a tackle, but I don't think it's as in stone as it seems, as it probably even, I would say, should be considering their need.
Taking out of consideration the top six projected quarterbacks and also guys like Spencer Rattler and Michael Pratt, who are looked at maybe the seventh and eighth guys selected at quarterback, who knows? But down deep in the draft, sixth round, fifth round, seventh round, is there a sleeper quarterback for a team out there?
Oh, that's a good question. As someone that can enter and eventually be a starter, I mean, this class really fell apart throughout the season, and then we didn't have as many guys come in. I think Jordan Travis is probably the next guy that I have graded in that range, and even he, I think he profiles more as a backup. If I was going to take like a toolsy guy, I don't know that there is a super toolsy guy in this draft. So maybe like a Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame, ready to play, higher football IQ, but he's got limited traits. So he's more of like a Gardner Minshew type. He plays very similarly to Minshew. He's just a lot of gusto and not a lot of arm, but that's okay. And so, there's not someone like Brock Purdy, where like he had the physical traits and it was like, okay, like he seems like he could be okay. And then he's just a lot better in the NFL, but he never had like the physical questions. Whereas this class, it's like you either have someone like Joe Milton, who has no idea how to use his arm, or,
we know that firsthand being in Tennessee.
yeah, I figured that one would hit home. Or Devin Leary from, like, Kentucky, like, he just doesn't make good decisions, and he doesn't really have the arm. So, like, there's just a lot of guys with really massive flaws at the end, and there's usually, like, one guy that has, like, the athleticism in the arm, but, I wouldn't put Milton in that category. We've seen him for 6 years, so, like,
right.
I think he's kind of more of like a finished project.
You probably saw the thing. I think it was one of the guys over at ESPN did the research of hits and misses in the first round by position. and wide receiver had the lowest hit rate in the first round at just 27%. Of these guys, of this group of wide receivers, which is very highly touted, if one of these guys that's a first rounder misses badly, who would it be?
It's got to be Brian Thomas out of LSU. And he's a late bloomer as far as, it's not that he was older, but he was, you know, he's a guy who broke out in 2023. He's a big play threat, but his only real game is going deep. And he's really, really good at it. 6'2", you know, 210 pounds. He's got great size. He's got really good acceleration for that size and his frame. But he doesn't run a full route tree. LSU never really asked him to do a whole lot else besides run go routes. So I think when you look at the lack of his polish, like, he's not going to make a huge impact year one unless if he goes to play with, like, Patrick Mahomes or maybe Joe Burrow or maybe Josh Allen, someone like that. Anything short of that, I just don't see that he's going to make a big impact this year. And I think in the future years, that becomes a really dangerous place. Like, look at how, you know, Treylon Burks, even another guy from, you know, Tennessee, it's like, if you don't start out hot, it's really hard as a wide receiver to grow into becoming a really good player. Like, if you're a really good receiver, you're generally very good in your first or second year. So injuries, you know, obviously aside, but, like, I think he fits the mold of someone that the NFL talks themselves into because he is such a great athlete, but his game doesn't really reflect that.
It's funny because when I saw this chart and I saw the wide receivers low, and this was 2000 to 2019 drafts, I feel like the Titans single-handedly ruined the wide receiver grade out here because they used to draft a wide receiver in the first round every year, and they never turned out to be good.
Yeah, it's a risky position. Like, I think it's just because these guys are so athletic and they're so much more athletic than their peers in college that it's really hard to project that to the NFL. Like, when you're playing one or two NFL corners a year, maybe, it's just such a small sample size that, like, you can't project that. Like, Brian Thomas was erased this year by the two NFL caliber corners he played. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can't really deny he had like 1,700 yards and like 20 touchdowns. So it's like, how do you balance that? And it's not easy. It might be one of the toughest positions to project, even though it's one of the easier positions to translate.
There's a prop bet about how many defensive players will be taken in the first 10 picks. I think it was a half. And it, to me, my memory's not the greatest, but it seems crazy that there'll be an NFL draft with the possibility, although Dallas Turner probably ended up being taken, but a draft that would not have a defensive player taken in the top 10. I mean, there's always edge rushers taken. Do you know off the top of your head when the last time that happened?
No, I mean, that's...
Doesn't it seem like there's always a defensive player taken?
Well, usually
taken
there's a corner or a pass
rusher. Yeah, a corner or a pass rusher.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So it's a rarity.
I would definitely say over on that, just in the sense of, I think teams really like Byron Murphy out of Texas. I think Quinion Mitchell has a chance. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about the 8th, 9th, 10th picks.
Right.
So, even then the 10th pick, you'd have to have a trade out because the Jets aren't going to take a defensive player, so... Yeah, it's a unique class. I guess I didn't really thought about that.
It's to me, yeah. When I heard that one, I'm like, what? And then I look up and I'm looking at everybody's mocks, your mock, and all that. Just wow. I mean, there's probably going to be the kid picked from Bama, but I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because I can't recall that every year. Seemingly, you're taking good defensive backs or edge rushers. And that won't be the case in the top 10 tonight. Should be a lot of fun. I think this draft is going to be very interesting. There's a lot of question marks. By the way, last thing. Are you sold on... I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick. We've known that for a long time. But are you sold on him?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's got it. The question is, it's not anything physical with him. It's just... And this is the same question I would pose to virtually every other quarterback prospect except for maybe Trevor Lawrence and like Andrew Luck. Like, there's a couple guys that were able to prove it in college. It's his mentality. Does he have the right psyche? Does he have the ability to handle losing? Does he have the maturity to handle what he's about to be undertaking? Because it is a huge ask. And that situation, yes, he's got some good playmakers around him. I don't know if he has the coaching staff, and I don't know what his coaching staff will look like next year. And so that's always the question with these guys, but I think he's pretty close to his stamp of approval as you can get. Just his feel for the game, his football IQ, it's just his physical traits are just unbelievable.
He is Ian Valentino. He covers the NFL, the NFL draft, college football, and Also, sports betting analyst for the 33rd team, A to Z Sports. Also, the Orange and Brown Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Study. It's been a pleasure having you on. Way to bring it. Hopefully, we can do it again in the future.
Thanks, guys. Sounds great.
Really appreciate it. Enjoy the draft.
Caleb Williams might have down the road, a beautiful new stadium to play in, too.
That's right.
Well, of course, it's probably not going to happen, but could. And it's a stadium with no parking, but hey, nonetheless, it's a beautiful stadium.
What are they projecting, $5 billion?
Well, the stadium itself is $3.2 billion. There's another $1.5 of infrastructure stuff that's included in that, but with that to make it around $5 billion. But beautiful renderings. However, if you look at the renderings, there literally isn't one parking spot shown. So I don't know where all the people are going to park. Not that there's a ton of parking at Soldier Field now, but like that rendering, like I'm like, show me one parking lot. Like they're actually like getting, it looks like they're getting rid of the parking for the museums that are there, the Shedd Aquarium and the Planetarium and all that. Like it looks like those parking lots are going, like they're literally on that rendering. I was like, I don't see one place for a person to park.
And from my few trips to Chicago, I can tell you firsthand, and you can attest to this, parking is not cheap, and it would only go up if it's a limited amount of spots around the general vicinity, because I remember paying $80 a night to park my car.
Springtime is the time for love, romance, celebration, and the folks at Genesis Diamonds, well, hey, when you've got a special occasion coming up, you need to go see them. Whatever budget it is, whatever type of piece of jewelry that you're looking for that special occasion, they can take good care of you. The selection out of this world. Walk in, you just see case after case after case of jewelry, lines of jewelry that nobody else in town has. Of course, the pre-owned Rolex watches, massive selection of those as well. And a great staff to help you find it. Not working on commission, so they're not there to pressure you into buying the most expensive thing in the store. They're just there to help you find that perfect piece of jewelry that you're looking for and educate you in the entire jewelry buying process to make you a smarter shopper when it comes to buying jewelry. If you're thinking about popping the question and getting engaged, if you've got an anniversary, Mother's Day just around the corner, graduation, any event that you've got coming up and you want that perfect piece of jewelry to help celebrate, go see the folks at Genesis Diamonds. They will take good care of you with that great selection, great prices, and great service. Poplar and Perkins Extended, that's where you'll find them, Genesis Diamonds.
This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:31 the time. As always, you can hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines by calling in or texting in at 901-360-8255.
So I was talking about that, the chart that one of the researchers at ESPN did about the first-round draft picks and the hit and miss rate. It's really interesting because it kind of goes by position. Offensive line is clearly, like, if you want to hit with your pick, you should go offensive line. Center especially. And this was the 2000 to 2019 drafts, first rounders. 12 centers picked in the first round. 11 of them were hits. So 92%.
What determines the hit?
Signing a second contract with the team. Offensive tackle, 59% hit rate. And guard, 50%. The three top positions of first round picks hitting are the three offensive line positions. Then you get into the defensive groupings, or not all defense, but you get a lot of the defense. Linebackers, 48%, edge, 44%, defensive tackle, 40%. Now, insert it in there. Quarterbacks, first round quarterbacks, hit at a 46% rate in there in that time. And then down at the bottom, cornerbacks, 38%. running backs 38%, safeties 34%, tight end 33%, and then wide receiver at 27%.
Surprised at the tight end numbers. You said that the first round quarterbacks hit at 46%?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So again, if you're looking at this and you just if you need offensive line, like you could say, like you'd be dumb not to take offensive line. Like that's whatever they have clearly been the whether it's easiest to assess or whatever. But again, I mean 92% at center. Now, granted, again, there's only been 12 of them selected. But they're the top three positions are center, tackle, guard. So it's like they do way better in grading out offensive linemen than they do at the other positions.
Well, you mentioned the Titans and the wide receiver picks, but for a while there, they were picking linemen, and they put together and built a fortress in front for Derrick Henry. The Taylor Lewans, and I know in the long run it didn't work out and they went their separate ways. But there were others as well, the Georgia center, but they might have gotten him as a free agent or a trade. I'm trying to remember Jones, but they drafted a bunch of linemen. I remember that vividly. I'm going, man, they're going to go out and get another lineman. And there's a rhyme and a reason for it. They're going to run the ball a lot with Derrick Henry and wanted to make sure they had holes for Derrick Henry. And they did a really good job for a number of years. So yes, it makes sense, offensive lineman. And with the Titans now, with an offensive line that is in shambles, they're definitely picking an offensive lineman. No question about it. College football news. Pete Thamel reporting that Jaden Rashada has committed to Georgia. So he goes from Arizona State to Georgia. Carson Beck going into 2024, that'll be it, right, for him?
Yeah, he could leave after this year.
Right, so he is expected to have a big year. And here could be the waiting in the wings next quarterback for Kirby Smart and Georgia.
So he could end up playing against Florida in the rivalry after
right.
Florida couldn't come up with their $13 million to sign him.
Yeah. Think about the backups coming into the SEC this year. Arch Manning at Texas. I'm not sure if Rashad will be number two. But he's going to Georgia. I mean, guys waiting in the wings that are pretty darn good as well in this expanded SEC with the additions of Texas and Oklahoma. From the world of basketball, specifically the University of Memphis, Jason Munns over at the Commercial Appeal reporting.
I'll make a bold prediction, by the way. Jaden Rashad is never the starting quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against you. I wouldn't bet against you. TJ Bamba is going to be visiting Memphis this weekend again, according to Jason. TJ Bamba was with Villanova this past season, 6'5 guard, and started, I think his first stop was at Washington State to begin his career. But another guard that Penny is looking at, he's already been able to convince four guards to transfer to Memphis. And then the other story is Jaden Quaintance, who we talked about yesterday. The five-star big, who I think is also expected to be in this weekend, unless things have changed, and things change daily, if not hourly, as far as that's concerned. But Quaintance, the one who had signed with Kentucky, Cal leaves, opened his recruitment, jumped in the portal. The word came that he was not going to follow Cal to Arkansas, whether that was like a mutual thing. Heard a lot of things about him and about you know, the NIL money and what it may cost. But as far as talent is concerned, yeah, pretty darn good. But others have already cautioned me. Remember what happened with Amani Bates and remember when, because he has, a family and especially a pop who's real close to things. I don't know. That's something that's going to be interesting because Louisville, he's already paid a visit to them. Kentucky's not out of the mix, despite the coaching change with Mark Pope. But Memphis in the mix for him. But TJ Bamba, good player, good quality player. And I'm hoping that he comes to Memphis and then I go, la, 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 Bamba.
Bamba averaged nearly six.
Everybody has to do that.
Nearly 16 a game his last year at Washington State. This year at Villanova averaged just over 10 a game. Pretty good shooter. Shot 37% from three-point range. Not a ton of attempts, but over 3.5 a game. Pretty good shooter. No surprise that his scoring average would come down a little bit going to Villanova over Washington State, but certainly another. They can use shooting, and he can't get enough shooting, and he can shoot the basketball. So they do at some point got to get some size, but if you could keep adding some shooting, that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah, because a couple of these guards that they've brought in are not great 3-point shooters. Now, the kid from Wichita State who we had on the show, whose name escapes me now, Colby Rogers. Yeah. He's a good 3-point shooter. But Eli's right. You can't just depend on one guy. And if Jones comes back, obviously he could shoot the rock. But you want to stockpile as many as you can as far as shooting the rock. If you got guys that are shooting 39, 40, 41% from three, I think you're in pretty good shape if you have several of those guys. But yes, they do have to entertain size. Quaintance would fit that role. But they will probably look at several others because you're going to have three or four. Jermaine's a big, but he's more of a finesse big. He's not a power big. And I don't know a lot about Danger. He's 6'10", but I don't think he's the brawler that you really need. You need a guy inside, and I think Penny will be able to eventually land that player. I'm not just sure at this moment who it would be. When you have still around, 1,700 or so, maybe even a little more in the portal, I guarantee you there's some bigs in there. Now, Musa Cisse, of course, is a name that has been connected again to Memphis, came out of Lausanne, went to Memphis, went to Oklahoma State, went to Ole Miss. You know what you're getting. Bad hands. No scoring. No shooting.
He visited Oklahoma State again, so he's looking to go back to somewhere he was, apparently.
No, he didn't, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
He's like, I don't know. He's going to take out all, try to make it a full circle one way or another. I don't know. It's strange. But he visited Oklahoma State, and he's rumored about Memphis. It's like, you were at those places once. You didn't have to leave.
And it didn't really work out that well. So, I don't know. Interesting.
At Oklahoma State, he was good.
He was okay. He's never lived up to the advanced billing coming out of school. We had him on
offensively,
with his coach.
Offensively at college, high school, he could dominate because he just dunked on whenever he wanted.
Yeah, but
defensively, he's been a good player. At Oklahoma State, he was really good defensively. He's an all defensive guy in the Big 12. And
yeah, but Ole Miss just brought
in defensive player of the year of the Big 12.
Did he?
Can't remember.
Ole Miss just brought in the kid yesterday that looks like Marshall Henderson with the headband, but he plays differently. He's a rebounder. The guy averaged more rebounds than Cisse and Sharp combined for Ole Miss. So sometimes those bigs don't play as big as they should.
Co-defensive player of the year, 2022.
Okay. All right. Well, he took a step backwards. I mean, he was average at best last year. But, yeah, dunking's fine at your size because you're going to be taller than a lot of guys. If you can catch the ball, bring it up to the rim, go over the cylinder, and dunk it. But when it deflects off your hand, that's not a good thing. So he wasn't the player I think we thought he would be. Nobody thought he was going to come in there and shoot 20-footers or knock down threes. But hands of stone, you don't want to have that nickname unless you're a fighter, Bobby Duran. So I don't know if he's gotten any better. I don't think he has as far as that's concerned. But yeah, a guy can clean up at the rim, put in missed shots and dunk them back home, that's fine to go along with what you can do as a shot blocker and rebounder. NBA tonight, 3 games. Cleveland, Orlando, New York, Philadelphia, Denver, and the Lakers. Again, we have the first round of the NFL draft, so there's certainly competition. I love watching the draft, and I will watch the draft, but I will periodically peek in on some of these games. Which is the one that interests you the most?
New York Philadelphia is a fun series.
Want to expound on that?
It's a really fun series.
Come on, man. I think. Do you believe in what Embiid said? They're the better team. They'll come back and win the series.
They should be. They should be the better team with New York playing without Julius Randle, but I mean, you got to give the Knicks credit. I mean, the Knicks, you know, guys have stepped up, and that's what you need. I mean, because the Knicks have done this without Brunson. Like, you'd think if they were doing this, it would be Brunson went like crazy, but he hasn't. You know, Hart's been fantastic. Hartenstein's been really good through these first couple of games, so they're getting their role players to step up and be really good. And that's what Philadelphia is going to need. You know, we'll see how healthy Embiid is. Certainly that's a big question. And then the Lakers, Denver, I mean, obviously tonight is the, if you don't win tonight, it's certainly over. We'll see if the Lakers have a, and LeBron have a you know, a final stand in them. You got Anthony Davis and Darvin Ham disagreeing on what their problems are, which is weird. Coach, like, I'll just agree to disagree with him on what our issues are. But I still don't think they have a chance at winning the series. So really, to me, the Cleveland-Orlando series, who really cares that series is even going on? So really, it's just the Philadelphia-New York series, I think, is the series of the three being, or of this, that is the most interesting.
More complaints coming out of those two games tonight, New York, Philly, and Denver, L.A. More complaints from the, which game? About officiating. I mean, because they were the two most vocal, right? The Sixers were the most vocal, along with the Lakers, in their previous games.
First, you have to see if either game's close.
I would expect Denver and the Lakers to be close. And New York and Philadelphia, I expect Philadelphia to win the game. I don't know if they'll win the series, but I expect them to have a close game tonight with Philadelphia winning, so we probably will get the complaints again about officiating. Folks, you want to get charged up? Come out to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch and get charged up. Test drive one of the new EV Blazers or any of the other great vehicles because it is Chevy truck season, so they have them all ready for you, ready to go, including the new Silverado. All the Silverados have financing down to 2.9 for 72 months. That's 2.9 for 72 months. Thousands back in cash and trade. They have the new Equinox, the Trailblazers, 1.9% financing. No payments for 90 days. If you want pre-owned, they have just about everything you're looking for right there. And if they don't, just ask Jeff or Kevin at All-Star Chevy and Olive Branch. They'll find it for you. But they got the Ram trucks, the Jeeps, the Tahoes, the Suburbans, the Traverse with that third row seating. Military, teachers, college students, healthcare workers, you get an extra $500 bonus when you buy a vehicle from All-Star Chevrolet. Remember, it's not South Haven, not Mount Moriah, not Bartlett, not Collierville. It has to be All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch, Mississippi. So come on out to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch or go to allstarautogroup.com. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
I've been looking up some of these names of college football players over the last few years, and as you mentioned, Zach, earlier, that Cooley McKinstry is not his real name. And there are other names like, remember Pig Cage? That's a nickname. Quentin Pig Cage is his name. But there are, I told you, there are some that are just, parents are crazy. And sometimes they're funny names and they're real names. And speaking of real, Darrealist Clark. Remember that kid? Wide receiver? That is a real name, Darrealist Clark. How about DeColdest? What's this guy's last name?
Abdullah Crawford.
DeColdest Crawford. That's a real name. Now, some I'm a little confused because they say it's real, and then I look it up and it's not real, so it's hard to get a true list of which ones are real. But let's just say that parents sometimes can be cruel because they're trying to be funny, or there's some reason behind that name, that history. God Sham God. Remember God Sham God, the basketball player?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The parents really named him God, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's with the, I think he's with the Mavericks. He's their coach. He's one of their
Is he one of their coaches? Really?
Yeah.
Love that. One of my favorite names of all time. So, yeah, there's...
Never. Always good to have God on your bench.
Yeah. I mean, it helps.
Scouting is amazing. He's an amazing scout. Speaking of scouting, I talked earlier about the Celtics Heat last night and the Celtics game plan. So Keith Smith went through the NBA data on this. Mm-hmm. They attempted 43 three-pointers. 23 of the 43 were wide open.
You're talking about the Heat?
Yes. 23 of the 43 were wide open, which is defined by the NBA as no defender within 6 feet.
Or poor defense, as we like to call it.
Another 14 were open threes. So 37 of the 43 threes that they shot were either open or wide open. They made 21 of those threes. They also, of the 43 threes, turned 37 of them against bad closeouts by Boston. So clearly the game plan for Boston was to let Miami shoot threes. Like, we're just going to let them shoot threes. And again, for whatever reason, never decided to change that even while they continue to make them. But so I looked this up. During the regular season, on wide open threes, the Heat are the second best in the NBA. Only Boston was better, shot a better percentage on wide open threes this year. So I don't know.
And why wouldn't they be? They have a host of three-point shooters.
So I don't know why the strategy would be to basically play drop coverage and let Miami shoot three-pointers.
Right.
Boston shot 41.6% during the year. Miami shot 41.3%. Now, last night they shot 15 of 23, so that's still way above average when you're talking about wide open threes. Like, that's a ridiculous number to shoot, even on wide open threes. But still, like, I don't understand why your strategy would be giving them wide open threes when they are the second best shooting team in wide open threes during the season.
Scheme is questionable by Mazzulla, right? The scheme, the strategy for the game is questionable. But also what is questionable, even though they're allowing them to take the threes, as you said, once they start to make some, your closeouts have to be better. There has to be a better effort. And Boston, I don't know if they went through the motions or whatever the case was, but they got stung last night. And again, it's one game, as we opened up the show talking about this particular game last night, because it's an embarrassment for Boston to lose at home, in front of the home crowd, by 10 to Miami without Jimmy Butler and without Terry Rozier. We'll see what they do as far as changing strategies for Game 3 in Miami. But Miami has proven before, they're a whole different organization when it comes to the postseason. So I don't think Boston's going to lose this series, but you better be on your P's and Q's next time around, because that was ridiculous, that defense and that effort.
And during the regular season, the teams clearly didn't go with the strategy because the Heat got the third fewest wide open threes per game in the league.
Huh. Well,
only the two LA teams.
Go back to the drawing board.
Only the two LA teams got fewer wide open threes per game than what the Heat did. And yet Boston decided last night they were going to give them all kinds of wide open threes. And, again,
bold move, guy.
You cannot expect a team to shoot 65% even on wide open threes.
Right, right.
That's an incredible number, what they did last night. But still, it's a weird thing when the Heat were that good shooting wide open threes during the year. That wouldn't seem to be the best approach against the Miami Heat. And we'll see if they change it for the next game. Moving can be stressful, but when you have the help of the proper professionals, well, it takes a lot of that stress and worry out of the process. And to do that, all you got to do is pick up the phone and talk to the folks, the professionals at Black Tie Moving. 901-316-6196 or go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis. Talk with the professionals for Black Tie. Come up with that plan. They'll talk with you, go through the whole thing, work with you, coming up with a plan, fitting your needs, which is very important, and fitting your budget. which is also very important. And they'll give you a no obligation quote up front so you know exactly what it's going to cost. During the move, Moving Concierge, available 24/7 to answer any questions or things that come up during the move. They are going to make sure that it is smooth as it could possibly be and making sure your move is a successful one and you don't have to worry about anything. Talk to the folks at Black Tie Moving. Again, 901-316-6196 or go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Big thanks to Darius Victor from the Showboats, Pete Medhurst, and Ian Valentino for joining us on the program today. We're back tomorrow, starting bright and early at 7 a.m. John Varlas among our guests. We'll also be talking plenty of NFL draft and more about the NBA playoffs. Coming up next, Rolo and Friends on Sports 56. So stay tuned for that. For Eli Savoy and for Zach Boyd, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.